we started off a maimer about a Ben HaChacham asking questions. It's important to ask questions. The whole night of Pesach is about asking questions. But the question needs to be reflective of the person who's asking it. If a Ben HaChacham is asking questions, then it has to be Chachmadika questions which he's asking. And we were struggling to find the Chachma in his questions. He's asking, what are the mitzvahs? What kind of Chachmadika question is, what are the mitzvahs? And we explained that really the question that he's asking is not what are the mitzvahs, but how can mitzvahs maisius draw down our Ein Sof? And the answer is that the way that mitzvahs maisius draw down our Ein Sof is because that's what Hashem wanted. Because when Hashem sent us to Mitzrayim and took us out of Mitzrayim and stood us by Har Sinai and gave us the Torah, the whole purpose of that was in order that we should be able to draw down our Ein Sof through mitzvahs maisius. That was the answer to his question, but we don't understand that answer yet. Before, though, we investigate this answer further, we analyze the question of the Ben HaChacham more. And we saw that in the Ben HaChacham's question, he asks about three types of mitzvahs, Eides, Chukim, and Mishpatim. And we wanted to know, why is he emphasizing the different types of mitzvahs? After all, if his problem is with the action of mitzvahs, not with the kavan of mitzvahs, then he shouldn't be emphasizing the types of mitzvahs which are reflective of their kavana, not of their action. And furthermore, when we answer his question, we emphasize the chukim, not the other two categories, not the categories of Eides and Mishpatim. And finally, the order in which he places these three categories seems odd, because he starts with Eidus, then he goes to Chukim, then he goes to Mishpatim, that's starting in the middle, going to the top, and then the bottom. Why is he asking his question like that? And we began to explain the answer to these questions through first prefacing something that the Friedeker Rebbe said in a Maimer, Ki Yishalcha Bincha. The Friedeker Rebbe said that although certainly the Ben HaChacham says Hashem Elikeinu, which means that he's including himself in the klal, in Yiddishkeit, when he's asking his question, what are these mitzvahs about? However, when he says Asher Tziva Havai Elikeinu Eschem, you, that leaves room for error, that maybe he means that when it comes to the different categories of mitzvahs, Eides, Chukim, and Mishpatim, for that he's excluding himself. What does it mean that he's excluding himself for the categories? We explained that in mitzvahs there are really two different energies, two different parts of every single mitzvah. What are the two parts of every single mitzvah? There's the yes of the mitzvah, and then there's the specific of the mitzvah. The yes of the mitzvah is, the Eibishter told me to do this, or told me not to do this, and Kabbalah Sol, there's nothing to ask about. Meida Ani, Haida'a, Kabbalah Sol, Bittul, that's it. You're a Jew, me tefillin, you tefillin. Put on tefillin. You're a Jew, don't eat treif. You're a Jew, behave the way that a Jew is supposed to behave. There's nothing to talk about, there's nothing to discuss. But then, within each mitzvah, there are the specifics of the mitzvah. This is Eides, this is Chukim, this is Mishpatim, this is a mitzvah that represents Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is a mitzvah that represents Hashem's love for us, this is a mitzvah that represents Shibud HaLev V'HaMoyach. There are specific ideas that each mitzvah represents. There are beautiful ideas that each mitzvah represents. Now, they didn't have to have ideas that we could relate to. After all, chukim, for example, don't necessarily have ideas that we could relate to, although there are plenty of beautiful and powerful ideas that we have from chukim as well. Like in Shatnez, we learned that there are certain things that don't get mixed, amongst other lessons that we have from Shatnez. But the idea of wool and linen, vasepis, wool and linen, what's the problem mixing wool and linen? And even where you're going to give a little bit of a sliver of understanding, it still is beyond our understanding. It's only once we have a mitzvah, so we'll go and explore it as much as we possibly can. So the Ben HaChacham is apparently asking a question and saying that what's important about a mitzvah is bittul, doing what Hashem told us to do. But to know exactly what the mitzvah is about, anashim karekeinu, we're supposed to understand what the Eibishter wants from us. Was haben wir mit der Eibishter's kavanas? The Eibishter told us to do it. We're soldiers. Do what you're told to do. Asking questions? Who are we to ask questions? Who are we to start understanding? In this, it looks like the Chacham is, Chas V'Shalom, excluding himself from the details of the mitzvahs. Leprotei ha'anyanim, from the details of the mitzvahs. And that's a mistake. He would never do something even like that. Because as a Ben HaChacham, as a Chassidish, a young man, he is going to do whatever Aveda is expected of him, even where the Aveda that's expected of him is Chabad, Fershtei, understand what you're doing. However, in the way that he's asking his question, it leaves us room for such a mistake. So why does he do that? In order to explain this, we're going to introduce a very important and fundamental idea in the beginning of Ayis Dalet, page Kuf Mem Aleph. A very important and fundamental idea. And that is that although mitzvahs are in general split up into three categories, and every mitzvah, you should be able to identify what category it fits into, Eidus, Chukim, or Mishpatim. The truth is that each and every mitzvah, and we've mentioned this briefly, each and every mitzvah is both Eidus and Chukim and Mishpatim. Each and every mitzvah has an aspect of Eidus in it, an aspect of Chukim, and an aspect of Mishpatim. And the Maimer is going to prove that by demonstrating that the truth is that all mitzvahs are called Eidus, all mitzvahs are called Chukim, and all mitzvahs are called Mishpatim in various psukim in Torah. Sometimes the Torah uses the word Mishpatim. It's referring to every single mitzvah. And the same with the other two. The Maimer is going to give us examples briefly. Now, the truth is, as we've mentioned earlier, that even when you look at a mitzvah, so tefillin are in which category? Eidus. That means that they're a testimony to the Eibishter. That's why on Shabbos we don't wear tefillin, because on Shabbos we already have the Eidus of Shabbos. We don't need the Eidus of tefillin. So tefillin is in the category of Eidus. However, there are things which are logical about tefillin. Certain things, the where we place them, why we place them there, and so on and so forth. And there are things which are completely chukim about tefillin. They have to be black. They have to be square. And so on and so forth. They have to be a certain space and a certain size and so on. And the same is true with every mitzvah. Every mitzvah has aspects of Mishpatim, aspects of Eidus, and aspect of Chukim in them. Let's see this first paragraph inside. V'yuvan zalpiyam avor b'maymer anal, shegimul ha'inyanim, the three ideas of Eidus, Chukim, and Mishpatim, heim b'chol ha'mitzvahs, they really exist in all mitzvahs. Shegam ha'mitzvahs to Chukim u'mishpatim, the Quran b'shem Eidus, also the mitzvahs of Chukim and Mishpatim are called Eidus, k'mei shekasav, as it says in the Pasuk, v'yakom Eidus b'yakov, and it's talking about all the mitzvahs that the Eibishter gave us. Well, derech zehu b'negei l'chukim, also with regard to Chukim, shegam ba'mitzvah shal pi tam also mitzvahs that are according to reason, that are logical, edus, which edus have a certain logic to them, as we've said, after they're given, after the fact, they have a certain logic. It's something beautiful, something meaningful. Vafilu mishpatim, even mitzvahs that are mishpatim, that are completely logical, but atam hu rak al klalus ha-mitzvah, the reason is only for the general mitzvah, v'loy al ha-pratim, not on the details, v'ha-pratim heim ba'ifin, and the pratim are in a way of chukka chokakti, gzeira gozarti, v'ein lecha rishus lahar herachra. I decided this is what you need to do, and you have no permission to start investigating, to start asking questions. And there are, again, mitzvahs that refer, the psukim, excuse me, that refer to all the mitzvahs as chukim, even though the Maamar doesn't quote those psukim over here. The Maamar emphasizes specifically the pasuk that refers to all the mitzvahs as edus. We'll see why soon. And similarly, with regard to Mishpatim, after all, this week's parasha is Ve'ela Mishpatim. What's Ve'ela Mishpatim? So, of course, there are certain mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim that are logical and understood mitzvahs, but there are also chukim in Parshas Mishpatim. There are mitzvahs that are completely beyond logic, and therefore, all mitzvahs are called mishpatim. Shagamba, mitzvahs te'edis v'chukim. Yes, ha'inyin, the mishpatim, there is the idea of mishpatim. That means there's an ability to be able to relate to it, to be able to understand certain lessons from it, from even para aduma. There are many lessons which we can learn practically and which make sense. Va'inyin, who, and the idea is, what does it mean that there are all of these three aspects? So the Maamar is going to show how? What's the objective of a mitzvah? What does a mitzvah mean?
Connection.
Connection. How does mitzvah mean connection? Because the word tzav also means tzav savechibur. What's tzav savechibur? Connection. What's the idea of a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a connection to the Eivishter. Just like if you have two strangers, and one stranger makes a request of the other stranger, and the other stranger fulfills that request, then there is a connection which is forged between these two strangers anymore. They're not strangers anymore. They have a relationship with each other based on the request which was fulfilled. When the Eibishter asks us to do a mitzvah, and we do the mitzvah that the Eibishter asks us, that forges a connection between us and the Eibishter. And in every mitzvah that we do, we know that Ramach, Pikudin, Inun, Ranamach, Ivrin, the Malka, the 248 mitzvahs, Aseir, the 248 limbs of the Eibishter. In every mitzvah that we do, we are drawing down godliness into the world. Yassi. We're drawing down godliness into the world. Right? So that means that the objective of a mitzvah is, it's like when you have these puzzles that you're like revealing one little piece at a time, and then you do each piece, and suddenly you see what the picture is. Like you have a bunch of little shapes, and you're supposed to only color in certain ones. And when you color in those ones, then you're able to reveal a shape. Now this is something on many more dimensions which we're doing with every single mitzvah that we do. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're drawing down and revealing godliness into the world. And with each mitzvah that we do, we're bringing the Ivrin, the Malka, we're emphasizing, we're revealing, we're showing the Eibishter here inside of the world. Practically, you feel that when you do a mitzvah. And we've spoken about this idea before. You walk into a place where many mitzvahs are performed, and you feel godliness in the room. You feel it's a spiritual room, a holy room. It's a Beis Chabad. It's a holy home. It's a holy room. You walk into a room, you have a Schwarze hanging on the wall. Excuse my lack of PC. With raptors or what's the month? What?
Raptors.
What does it say in your wall?
Oh,
What does it say? Indians?
Toronto Raptors?
No, but in yours, right over your bed.
Yeah, Raptors.
Raptors. Oh, there, see, I got it right. It says the Raptors. What are Raptors?
Dinosaurs. Right?
Dinosaurs. Who wants to be a dinosaur? I thought we didn't want to be dinosaurs. But okay, sure.
It's a team.
So confusing.
The team called the dinosaurs.
I know, but you call a team by a name that something that you want to emulate, right? You want to be an Indian. You want to be a... I don't know. Forget it. I'm not even going to go there. There's some things that are chukim, chukko, chukakti, gzer, gzerti. Let me go and just lie. So you walk into a room like that. What type of energy do you feel? Do you feel a Yiddish feeling?
Yes.
Do you feel a warm... You do. I don't. I feel this isn't a place where I feel so comfortable. You have a picture of the Rebbe. You have a chitas, a pushka, a haggadah. This makes you feel at home. This makes you feel like you belong. You have some picture of a basketball guy with his clothes on, holding a ball. It doesn't make you feel so Jewish. Why? Because mitzvahs draw down godliness into the world. That's what mitzvahs do. Mitzvahs reveal godliness. They make you feel comfortable. They make you feel at home. The mitzvahs, the more mitzvahs that you do, the more you feel this is a warm and enveloping and Jewish environment, a holy environment, a godly environment. That's the tzav sevichibor. Now the Maimer is going to explain to us that in the godliness that mitzvahs draw down, there are three types of godliness. And those three types of godliness reflect the three types of mitzvahs which exist within each and every mitzvah that we do. Eides, chukim, and mishpatim.
Rabbi, could it be like compared to like when a husband goes to pick up kids from school or something, and you see that the minivan clearly is like a family van, that it's like the act he's doing is also representative of his relationship with his wife as well. That, like, you know, somehow there's some coordination there that it's not, or like if he's going to the store and buying something for his wife and you can see clearly he's doing it
of
for
course.
Someone else, like the act itself is showing, oh yeah, this guy has a relationship with something other than himself.
Of course. Do you see that there's something that this person is a mensch? There's some people, they walk down the street, they're oblivious to the world. They have their earphones in their ears, they don't wait, they're not polite, they're not... Nobody else exists, nothing else exists, except for themselves.
And all their actions
are
representative of that.
So a person in his behavior represents that which he's connecting to and that which he's drawing down. And there are certain times, 100%, that a person's walking in the street and you see this is a person who's connected to more than just himself. He's connected to children, he's connected to a family, and so on and so forth. In the revelation of godliness that is accomplished through mitzvahs, there are three general levels. There's the Or HaMislabish Ba'ilameis, the light which clothes itself inside of the worlds. The Bechlalos who are HaMimale, that in general it's Or HaMimale, a light that fills. There's the Or ShaLemailameis Labshus La'ilameis Avol Shayich La'ilameis. There's the light which is higher than Hislabshus, than clothing itself inside of the worlds, but it's shayich la'ilameis, it's related to the worlds. The bechlalos who are haseviv, that in general it's the are haseviv, and then there's the atzmos are insayiv shelamayla mishaychus la'ilameis. There's the essential light of godliness that's higher than having any connection to the worlds. So, this is a little bit of a difficult idea to bring across in a mashal, but nevertheless, we'll start with a more classic mashal, and we'll see if we're able to develop it more. You're made up of 248 limbs, right? You have an eye, a nose, a mouth, a heart, a lungs, a liver. My brother-in-law had a doctor, a Russian doctor. I told him, drink a lot of mashka.
Mashka?
Drink a lot. It's good for your heart. So your liver, it might kill your liver, but the liver is replaceable. A heart's not replaceable. Right? Do you agree? No. Sit down. Each limb has its function, and there's the Ur HaMimale, which allows it to accomplish that function. That means within a person's neshama, within a person's nefesh, there is the ability to see, which expresses itself in the eye, zum gesund. There's the ability to hear, which expresses itself in the ear. There's the ability to move, which expresses itself in the arms and the legs, and so on and so forth. There's power that you have inside of you, and that power finds a specific part of you to express itself in. That's the Ur HaMimale, the energy of you, because your eye doesn't see, right? I'll prove it to you. Take the eye outside of its socket, put it here. Could hold it like this, hold it backwards, put it on the back of your head, you know, like your teacher who had eyes in the back of his head. It's not going to do anything for you. You won't see anymore. Your eye sees only when it's connected to you. Only when it's connected to you. Right? Why? Because it's not your eye that sees. What sees? Your nefesh. It's in your brain, I hear you. The brain also doesn't. Because you could have a perfectly functional body that's lifeless. The brain doesn't see. The brain processes the sight. The brain has its function, which also has an Ur HaMimale. It's the nefesh that sees. The life of the person. You're alive, Baruch Hashem. I flung a yarn. The life that's inside of you, that's what sees. And that life has a certain energy of sight which expresses itself inside of your eye. Then you have an Ur HaSeviv. What's the Ur HaSeviv? The Ur HaSeviv is an energy of you that's not specifically in your eye, in your nose, in your heart, in your stomach. It's all over you. It's everywhere in you. Which I've expressed to you before, if I touch your pinky, I'm touching you. If I touch your nose, I'm touching you. And I'm touching the same you when I touch your pinky as when I touch your nose, as when I touch your shoulder, wherever it is. It doesn't matter. Why? Because there's a certain Ur HaSeviv, an energy, a life from your nefesh that's everywhere inside of you, that fills yourself entirely, and it's you. Within that nefesh, there's an Ur HaMimale which fills each limb according to its function, and there's an Ur HaSeviv which fills all over inside of you simultaneously. That's the difference between the Ur HaSeviv and Ur HaMimale. In the world, you also have that. There's an apple, a banana. The apple has an Ur HaMimale. There's an energy of godliness that allows it to exist, that gives it its existence. And the same with the banana. And therefore, when you eat the apple, you need to make a bracha, a very specific bracha for that apple. Bayre Periya Eitz. When you eat the banana, you make a very specific bracha for the banana. Bayre Periya Adama. And in this way, you're beginning to connect to the godliness that's inside of the energy of this apple, of this banana. And obviously using the energy properly, a bracha achrayna, disposing of it in a menschlicha way, making sure that you're eating it in the proper time, and so on and so forth, is all part of the way that you're showing that why does this exist? It exists to help me serve Hashem. That's an Ar HaMemaleh. That's an Ar HaMemaleh, right? But there's also an Ar HaSeviv inside of the world. The Ar HaSeviv is not tapped into through this specific object that I'm dealing with. The Ar HaSeviv is a godly energy which is everywhere, which doesn't fit inside of a specific kli. It's higher than the kli. It's greater than the kli. Right? So the Ar HaSeviv and the Ar HaMemaleh is clear. The Ar HaMemaleh is that which fills the vessel. The Ar HaSeviv is that which is greater than the vessel.
This is the Ar HaMemaleh, what allows the vessel to exist in its specificity. And the Ar HaSeviv is just the energy that's completely beyond. Does the Ar HaSeviv give life to the Ar HaMemaleh?
No. They interact with each other, but from a distance, so to speak.
So how is it that you can cause something to happen in the Ar HaSeviv when you do something with the HaMemaleh?
We'll get there.
Okay.
There's the Ar HaMemaleh and the Ar HaSeviv. Clear? Then there's a third level. What's the third level? Atzmos. Within our mashal. What's Atzmos? Atzmos is the essence of the person. The Ar HaSeviv that's everywhere inside of the person is very specifically not the Ar HaMemaleh. The Ar HaSeviv, because it's so great, it doesn't fit into Memaleh. It's not able to express itself inside of a keli. But the eye that sees, whose power of sight is it? Whose power of sight is it? Yours, right? The Ar HaSeviv, the you that I'm touching when I touch your pinky, who is that? The same you. That means there's the same you in your Seviv that there is in your Memaleh. They exist simultaneously in both. There's an etzem, an essence, which is able to fit inside of the keli and able to be higher than the keli. That's everywhere. Your identity, your essential you, the essential you, is everywhere inside of you, both in the Memaleh and in the Seviv simultaneously, and in neither exclusively. The Ar HaMemaleh is exclusively in the kelim. You only have the Ar HaMemaleh of sight in the eye, the Ar HaMemaleh of digestion in the stomach. It's exclusively in the keli. The Ar HaSeviv is exclusively outside of the keli. It doesn't fit in the keli. The Ar HaEtzem is not exclusively here, not exclusively there. It's everywhere, but not exclusively anywhere. You understand? A little bit. Yeah? So this exists inside of the world as well. There's the Ar HaMemaleh. There's the Ar HaSeviv. The energy of godliness that fills each keli according to its keli. There's the Ar HaSeviv, the energy of godliness that is everywhere equally. Wherever you go, you have Eibishter. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And then you have the Ar HaEtzem, the essential godliness that's not Seviv nor Memaleh. It's inside of the Seviv and the Memaleh. Now, we have these three categories of godliness. I want you to help me, parrots, match them up. Ar HaMemaleh, Ar HaSeviv, and Etzem. Where does it fit within the three categories of mitzvahs? Could you help me? Where does it fit? The Aram and Mali, what does it fit?
Mishpatim? Edis.
Why Mishpatim?
It's like very specific and relatable.
It's very specific, it's relatable, it's something which you're able to grasp. That's the Aram and Mali, something which you're able to see, something which you're able to define. Good. That one was easy. Now we're going to get a little bit trickier. There's the Ur HaSeviv and the Ur HaEtzem. We said Aram and Mali is Mishpatim. One second. Well, we'll see inside in a moment. What's the Ur HaSeviv?
Edis.
Why Edis? Why Chukim?
Because the Edis still kind of have a... Never mind, I have no case.
Why? Like why?
Above. So, like the Sov is like much harder to relate to. And same with the Chog is like...
It's illogical.
Logical, right?
It doesn't fit inside of a Keli. The Ur HaSeviv is outside of the Keli, beyond the Keli, opposite of the Keli. The Chayk is opposite of Seichel. It doesn't make sense. It's a Chayk. Chukko kakati. Gzer gazarti. That leaves Edes for Etzem. Why are Edes aligned to Etzem? That's really the chiddush of this maimer, what this maimer is going to explain. Let's read inside. We'll start again from the beginning of the paragraph. Va'inyin hu, and the idea is the begilu yalikus shal yidei hamitzvus gimel madregus bechlalus. In the gilu yalikus and revelation of godliness that's through mitzvus, there are three levels in general. There's the ur hamislabish ba'ilumis, the light which clothes itself inside of the worlds. The bechlalus hu ur hamimali, in general, that's the level of ur hamimali. There's the ur shalimayla mihislabshus ba'ilumis, avol shayich la'ilumis, the ur which is related to the worlds. But it's higher than the worlds. In what way is it related to the worlds? If it's the opposite of the worlds, that means it's relatable to the worlds. You can't be the opposite of something that you're not related to. In order to contrast A to B, A and B have to be within the same something. They have to have some relationship to each other, or you can't contrast them to each other. If you're contrasting the Ur HaSeviv to the Ur HaMimali, because that's what it's called. It's called the Ur HaSeviv. Seviv what? The Mimali. That means you're contrasting it. If it's a contrast, then by definition, it's Shayich La'ilumis. It has some type of relationship to the world. The Bechlalus who Ur HaSeviv in general, that's Ur HaSeviv. And there's the Atmos Ur HaSeviv Shalemayilum Shayichus La'ilumis, which is completely higher than the worlds altogether. It has no Shayichus to the worlds at all. The Ur HaMimali Musag Gam B'Seichel. The Ur HaMimali is understood also inside of Seichel. V'lachein, and therefore Hamshachasehu Al Yidei Ha'inyin de Mishpatim. The way that we draw down the Ur HaMimali is through the idea of Mishpatim, which is Hasagas HaSeichel. It's comprehension. It's the ability to be able to grasp. That's holding the Ur, that you understand it inside of your Seichel. That's the level of Mishpatim, which fits inside of Seichel. The Ur HaSeviv Ein Shayich by Hasagas HaChiyuv V'rak Yediyas HaShlila. Ur HaSeviv is the opposite. It's the opposite of Seichel. It's not, you can't have Hasagas HaChiyuv of it, you could have Yediyas HaShlila. Like, for example, when you deal with the dimensions which we're familiar with, there's a dimension of time, a dimension of space. Now, we cannot relate to a place where there is no dimension of time and space, but we can speak about it. In other words, there's this concept of a time machine which we can play around with. There's this concept of an invisibility or an ability to walk through space or from one to teletransport, whatever it might be, which we can play around with. Why can we play around with? Because we're contrasting it to that which we do relate to. That's the contrast. That's called Yediyas HaShlila, the knowledge of the opposite. We have the yedias achiyuv, that's time and space. Lack of time and space, that's yedias hashlila. The zeh shahu yadua. The zeh shahu yadea, excuse me. Umevin shabar zeh iesher liyesas agas haseichel. This that he knows and understands. Shabar zeh, that in this light iesher, it's impossible liyesas agas haseichel, to be able to grasp it, to be able to comprehend it. Hu inyan bitul hasaga. That's the idea of the lack of understanding. V'lochein, and therefore, hamshachas ar haseviv, hi al yidei kiyum hachukim. The way that we draw down ar haseviv is specifically through chukim. Sheinyanam hu shemevatel hasichloi. What's the whole idea of a chayk? That you say, hey, mister, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. I don't understand it. That's this I understand, that's the seichel. This I don't understand, that's the opposite of seichel. That's the idea of a chayk. That's the idea of arasaviv. Ein lecha rishus laharer. You don't have permission to think about it, to try to understand it. You do it because I told you. That's chayk. Then you have atzmus ar insayf she'enoy begeder shaychus la'elamayis. You have the essential godliness that has no relationship to the worlds whatsoever. Over there, ein shaych le'ymer gam shehu mushlal me'asagas ha'seichel. It's not even possible to say that it's mushlal, that it's removed, that it's negated from hasagas ha'seichel. You can't even say about it that it's negated from hasagas ha'seichel. Ukemavur b'Tanya, like it explains in Tanya, shehaoymer al Hakadosh Baruch Hu shehi efshel lasigay, that somebody who says Eibishter, you can't understand Eibishter. That's a laughable statement. It says in Tanya, hu kaoymer, it's like a person who says al eze chachma rama va'amuka. He says about a certain wisdom, which is Rama exalted and Amukam very deep. He says about a certain idea, this idea, wow, it's such an amazing idea, you can't even touch it. You can't touch it. What do you mean you can't touch it? What do you mean you can't touch it? What seichel can you touch? It's not in the gather of touching. In other words, Shekol Hashemeya Yitzchak Loi. Anybody who hears something like that will laugh. Why will they laugh? Because it's a ridiculous statement. I could say that I can't touch the ceiling, because if the ceiling were a few feet lower, I'd be able to touch it. It's because it's higher than me, that's why I'm not able to touch it. But a logical idea is not too high for me to be able to touch. A logical idea is not in the geder of touching b'chlal. In the same way, Eidos or Ha'etzem is not in the geder of being able to comprehend, that we're saying it's not comprehensible. Ki inyan hashlila, the idea of negation. She'ayimim al eze davar shahu mushlal mi davar sheni. What's the idea of negation? That I say that a certain thing is negated from another thing, like the ceiling is too high for me to be able to touch. Shayich davka b'dvarim sheyesh yachas b'neihem. It's only possible by something that there's a certain relationship between them. That means that I am 5'11", so I can touch something that's within the 6 foot, 7 foot range. But if it's up 8 feet high, I can't touch it anymore. But if it were a little bit lower, I would be able to touch it. Even a plane in the sky, it's too high for me to be able to reach. Because if I were several thousand feet taller, I'd be able to touch it. There's a yachas b'neihem. There's a certain relationship between me, who's 6 feet, and the plane, which is 1,600 feet. Right? But when it comes to logic and touch, those are two things that are completely separate, that there's no relationship between them at all. Now, parenthetically, we're going to add, if we could add to this, in the example of seichel and mishos, of intellect and touch, Kivan sheshneihem heim nevra'um migbalim, since both of them are limited creations, at the end of the day, yes, yachas b'nehem. There is some relationship between them. It's not a classic relationship, but there's some connection between them. Masha'ein kein ba nimshol, but not so when it comes to the analog, when it comes to the Eibishter and me. There is no yachas between us at all. This that it's impossible to say the Eibishter. You can't understand the Eibishter. That's a ridiculous statement. Not understanding the Eibishter is like not touching Seichel. But more than that, because at least with a Svar Sichlis, there's some relationship to touch. But when it comes to the Eibishter, there's no relationship with me. There's no connection to me at all. What can I connect to? I could connect to godliness. I could connect to Ur HaMimale, the apple, the banana. I could connect to Ur HaSeviv, the energy of the apple and banana. The energy of the world, the godliness in the world, the Ur HaSeviv. But I can't connect to the Eibishter himself. There's no relationship between me and Eibishter. So to say that I can't understand the Eibishter, like when we have questions, like a question, Rachman al-Tzlan, about the Holocaust. How could the Eibishter do something like that? So you're going to answer, you can't ask questions on the Eibishter. That's not really the answer. It's not that you can't ask questions about the Eibishter. We don't begin to have even a glimpse of being able to relate to the Eibishter at all. We're not in the same playing field. That we're not in the same category. We're not in the same wavelength that there can even begin to be any shred of connection and relationship. It's not that the Eibishter is too deep for us to be able to understand. But if we were allowed a greater glimpse, then we would understand the Eibishter. If we were a little bit smarter, if instead of having an IQ of 120, we would have an IQ of 720, then we'd be able to understand the Eibishter. It's not like that. You could have a IQ of 7,020,000, and you're still no closer to understanding the Eibishter, because IQ doesn't allow you to understand the Eibishter any more than touch allows you to feel a Svara Sichlis. And again, not just any more, but less so, like the parenthetical statement added.
So when it says, like, you have a relationship with the Eibishter, you like have Devekis the Eibishter, it's not talking about the Eibishter himself?
We'll see. One moment. V'lachein hamshocha sa'atzmos arin seif eina gam al yidei chukim bitla seicho. You obviously can't draw down atzmos Eibishter. You can't have a relationship to the Eibishter, dveikus to the Eibishter, anything like that through Ur HaMimale, because Ur HaMimale is not Eibishter. Ur HaMimale is just a ray of Eibishter. And you can't even have a relationship to Atzmus Aryan Seif through Chukim, which is Bittul HaSeichel, the negation of Seichel, Kivan Shalagabe Atzmus Aryan Seif, with regard to the essence of the infinite light of the Eibishter, Ein Shayich Leimer Gam HaInyan DeShlilas HaSeichel. You can't even say the idea of negation of Seichel. V'zeh Shal Yidei HaMitzvah Suham Shochas Atzmus Aryan Seif. But you do have connection to the Eibishter, to the essence of the Eibishter through mitzvahs. This that you have a connection to the essence of the Eibishter through mitzvahs, humipnei shehamitzvahs heim ratzin v'tzivoy ha'atzmos. It's because the mitzvahs are the ratzin and the tzivoy of atzmos itself. And this is the idea of Eidus. Why? We'll explain on Sunday, Bezus Hashem.
And Torah is also from atzmos?
Yes, but not for now. We're focusing right now on the Indian of mitzvahs.
Why is Sunday too long for me?
What?
Sunday is too long.